You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 172. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the designated adult, John Brownstone.
The frazzled John Brownstone.
When are you not?
No, more so than normal.
Just be the designated adult today, please. That's what I need more than anything.
I'm trying.
Okay, good. This week, we're talking about managing expectations in your DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter, at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, that stands for podcast, y'all, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, lovingds and the number one, lovingds1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream this episode every Thursday. All links are in the show notes. A big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you. We love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you'd like access to more content and to more of us and this thing we're doing, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 per month. We talk about this a lot, but maybe we'll take a second and tell you what your patronage does.
Yeah.
Well,
what does it do?
It does a lot of things. It's paying for a wonderful human who is transcribing podcast episodes for us.
Yay.
And since most podcast episodes are over an hour long, it takes a while. Right now, we can only do one per month, but we would love to get up to two a month to one to two a week, like to get caught up. That would be ideal. We're not there yet. Your patronage also has helped us hire some technological help, so our websites are always maintained and updated.
Yes.
So hopefully they die a little less. Your patronage keeps all the websites going, the for our hosting, and the podcast for our hosting, and hopefully one day patronage will help us save up to buy the good camera.
Yeah.
Maybe not a $2,000 camera, but better than what we're using now.
That one can hope.
Yes. And it helps us pay contributors. And we have contributors to Loving BDSM site plus the Smut Lancer website. So yeah, kinky patrons, hopefully we give as much as we receive in value, but you do help a lot. So if you're interested.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. As I know, and I want to do more. Y'all know I want to do more. So if you would like to help us do more, you can become a kinky patron for as little as $1 a month. Mm-hmm. And just go to patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes. Okay. Only one announcement this week, and it's so cool. I'm so excited. This podcast / live stream / video is sponsored by one of my favorite companies.
Mine too.
I know, the Butters.
Love them.
Okay, so podcast listeners, you know what we're talking about. Because yep. I have podcast listeners who will private message me and say, could you say that word in your next recording? Because I like it when you say that word. And there's only one word. And not everybody's going to like it. I don't care. I'll say it for the people who love it.
Go ahead.
Lube. Lube, 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 the Butters is our favorite, absolute favorite lube. So I have to tell a story that has nothing to do with the Butters, but it is about lube.
Okay.
We had to go buy non-Butters lube the other day because
it felt weird.
It felt very weird. I felt like I was cheating on Jerome at the Butters.
Know.
If you are interested in some of the Butters, if you've been listening to us talk about it for 100 years, because we have been, it's getthebutters.com. But let me tell you my lube story, because this is a sponsored podcast and lube stories. So the Butters lube is thick and creamy, and we use it for sex toys, we use it for penetration, we use it for sex, we use it for his sex toys, we use it for my sex, like it's all the sex things. But we have a product to try, which we have not tried yet, that does require lube, but it needs a water-based lube.
Correct.
Because we're doing electro stimulation.
It's got to do with electrify.
I can't wait for that either.
Yep.
Anyway, so we don't have any of that. We, one, cleaned through, as we've been packing, we have cleaned through everything.
Yes.
And two, we don't really keep that. We just use our Butters. And I mean, Butters is so thick, y'all, that he uses it to penetrate me. And then my junk is moisturized when we're done, too. It just works right into the skin. Don't have to lotion anything.
I was never.
If you lotion, you're fine.
I was never one to be very excited about lube.
Until you found the Butters.
Until I found the Butters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We spend our money on it too. Like, I shop at his site. I have to place an order at his site because they sell other things. Anyway, lube story. I'm so distracted. Lube story. So we needed water-based lube, and that is not what we use. The Butterscore is just not a water-based lube. It's not going to help us with our electroplay that we're doing.
Well, the nice thing about the Butters is it's all natural.
Yes, I know. I want to tell my lube story. These poor people are like, my expectations have not been managed yet, and you won't even get through the lube story. Lube story. How many? Oh, we should have made this a drinking game. How many times could I say lube?
Right.
Oh, somebody would. That's not safe. Anyway, so we needed it. And we didn't have time. We could have ordered it from Amazon, but I'm not comfortable getting my sex stuff from Amazon because there are some sketchy players out there. That's just a pro tip. But I was like, he's like, we just need water-based lube. I went, you can buy it at Walmart in the, quote, family planning section. I'm sorry, my lube is not for no family planning. That's for some getting down.
For recreational purposes.
Right? I know why they call it that. It's still a dumb name to call it. Anyway. So we go with Astroglide. I mean, there's all these others. I'm like, I don't really care for that. I'm like, Astroglide, it doesn't bother my skin. I'm not overly sensitive. So we can use that. Sure. We do all of our other shopping. We had to buy milk. We had to buy, I mean, this is the nice thing. You buy your lube or you buy your groceries, right? We buy like multiple other things. I don't think anything of it. We get into the line and we put everything on the belt. And I then did realize I was buying lube while I was buying bread and milk and a couple of things. And I gave it a place of honor in the center of the belt and apparently freaked out the lady behind us.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wish you'd ask questions.
She kept looking at it and giggling.
I know. And I was like, oh, that's right. People find this strange to buy this.
Yeah.
Most people are embarrassed by this. What is wrong with me that I am not embarrassed by this? Just not. That's my not even interesting lube story. We freaked out the lady at the Walmart. Yeah. And I, for the first time, publicly bought something and went, it's just lube. I kind of wish she'd have said something. I'd have gone into like educator mode. I'd be like, let's talk about water-based lube and what you can use. She wouldn't have wanted that much. She was just buying dog food. Yeah. Like, that's all she was buying. Okay. Done. Butters is amazing.
Yes.
GetTheButters.com is the website. If you use the code Kayla, you save a little bit of money. He's got other specials and stuff. We'll be talking about them. You're going to be hearing about them because fucking amazing.
Anyway. I can almost guarantee you try the Butters, you ain't going back to other lubes.
Nope. Lube. You don't do lube the way I do.
I know either. I don't.
But you do
I try.
Lube. You do dip in. And that's a whole. We'll talk about that later. Because somebody interrupted me, and I interrupted myself 85 times on my lube story. It took way longer. Sorry,
it's fun to get you off track.
Well, it's not hard.
No, it's
very
not.
Easy.
It's but
like
it's fun.
Not even a challenge. Okay. So the managing expectations.
Yes,
we're actually sorry, y'all. Okay, here we go. Newcomers will be like, who are these fucking people?
We're cray-cray.
This is how we are.
Yep.
Every week. So this came from a conversation we were having that had nothing to do with kink.
No.
Nothing at all to do with kink. It's because, and we'll talk about this in the bonus section later, we finally buy this afternoon, this evening of the day we're recording, April 25th, this Thursday, our condo will be listed on the market for sale.
Yeah.
No, we will not be sharing that link because then you'll have our home address and no. No, we don't do that. Anyway, and leading up to this, we have had a lot of conversations. Now, for both of us, we have both bought homes, so we've never actually had to go through the selling process. And some people are going to go, how is that possible? Well, for me, I had a foreclosure because I had a divorce. And and you technically sold, but you sold it to your ex.
Right.
And she took ownership.
She bought me out of the...
Right.
Yeah.
So this part of the selling process, never have done. Never have gotten our house list up ready and all this stuff we've been talking about. So we've been talking about what's going on in our heads about it, what we're expecting to happen. And everything I know is theoretical. Like I said, real estate adjacent careers in the past. And I was telling John Brownstone what other real estate professionals have told me, what they tell each other, the advice sellers get online. Not all of that's good, but advice. And I looked at him and said, because he was getting kind of nervous, I would say, kind of antsy about what's going to happen. And I said, we have to manage our expectations about this. We have to try and be as realistic as possible. And that is a really kind of fuzzy word because what's realistic to me might not be realistic to somebody else. And like everything else, it's a spectrum. And so I realized that we have these kinds of conversations in our relationship all the time. Every time we're doing something new, whether it's something we're excited about or it's something that kind of stresses us out, or it's sometimes we're going through not good stuff, but we've never gone through it before, we end up in these conversations where we try and think through what could happen now. As an anxious person, I hesitate to tell you what could happen, because if you are anxious clinically or not, the what if game can be awful. Some people cannot handle that because their mind spirals into all the what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're not in that place and your head can kind of think about, well, what might happen and what do we think will happen? Because there's a difference between what you really want to happen and what you think might happen, and then all the stuff in the middle that will be some variation of that. And it depends on your personality.
True. So very true.
I used to be, I kind of still am, but much more so, much less so now than I used to be. I used to be an extremely optimistic person. I had total faith in whatever idea I had, whatever plan I had. I was sure it was going to happen. It only takes life kicking your ass a few times before you go, oh, wait. Maybe just because I thought it, that doesn't mean it's going to actually happen. And I got a little bit more realistic. But on the other side, there are people, for different reasons, whether it's just part of their personality or because life has kicked their ass, that are really pessimistic. And they will be the ones that will tell you, well, that can't ever happen, or that's absolutely going to fail. And sometimes, even if we don't mean to be in our pessimism, we're very negative. And that's not always the right way either. Yeah, the worst possible thing could happen, and yes, the best possible thing could happen, but for the vast majority of the time, it's something in the middle. So those are the variables, I think, that will determine how you manage expectations, especially if you and a partner are polar opposites. One of you is the optimist and one of you is the pessimist.
Well, I don't think it's even so much that. For a long time in my life, I think probably by the time I hit my mid-30s, I kind of started to live in a philosophy of hope for the best, expect the worst, you land in the middle, and you're doing good. All right? And I think that's why we work so well together, because when we are planning something like what we've been going through now, we will sit, okay, well, what is the best case scenario that can happen? All right.
Well, what is it that we want to happen?
What is it that we want to happen?
Because that's our best case scenario.
Or out of this, what is the best outcome? Then after we talk about that, then, okay, in all this, what is the worst case scenario?
Right.
And what is the absolute worst thing that we can imagine?
That's also realistic. I can imagine horrific scenarios. I can imagine a plane crashing into this condo right now, and oops, it'll be kind of hard to sell, won't it? That, of course, I can imagine that. But let's go with probable. Let's go with, what have we heard from other people? What have we learned in our research? I mean, if you're talking DS, so one great example of this, and we've talked in past episodes about BDSM scenes, kinky scenes, and what happens when something goes wrong, and what happens when, and how you set one up. Well, that's all part of managing expectations.
Yeah.
Because if you're about to try this kinky thing for the first time, maybe you're doing it in public, maybe you're doing it at home, of course you're expecting best case scenario. That's what you're hoping for. I think it's very realistic to go, okay, what will we do if things don't go well? And some of that's going to be about your research. Some of that's going to be, well, who have you been listening to, and who have you been following, and who's been talking about their scenes, and are you trying to emulate a scene that you've seen done or that somebody's told you about? And those things can inform how you expect these things to go. But then there's also getting down to a more granular level, like, okay, let's talk about, in DS especially, kneeling is very popular, right? A lot of submissives want to, and usually do, kneel at some point for their dominant. I don't anymore. Now, I'm sure we've talked about in way past episodes.
Right.
It's not that I don't want to kneel. It's
you've got a funky knee.
Right. Yeah. So before we knew that, when we knew that there was something wasn't quite right, like I would kneel and then I'd be like 5 minutes later, be like, oh, can we shift position? If the whole scene was predicated on me being able to do that one thing, the whole scene could have been ruined.
Yeah.
But instead, we're like, okay, well, how about if we start in this position? And I would say things like, okay, if my knees hurt, what do you want to do? How will this work? What should I say? And we sort of navigated that, knowing that there was a good chance things might not work the way we hoped they would. The same is true of any new kind of play. The first time we use a paddle, this is, in a way, it's managing your expectations. He tests it on him. We've talked about this before. He tests the paddle on him. He tests it on me. So then I have a frame of reference. I can say, okay, I know what that feels like when you do this. I like that.
Right.
Then he goes, okay, you like it this way. Now I can then play a little bit harder, a little bit softer. We can play within a range to find out what you like. And that's a little bit of managing expectations too.
And that's what I do. Every time I get a new toy, especially an impact toy, I test it on my forearm.
Right.
All right in this general area here, just give myself a couple whacks or, you know, flicks. And because this skin here in this area in the forearm is very similar to, say, someone's ass. And it gives me an idea if it's stingy, if it's thuddy, if it just takes a little flick to give a bigger ouchie, or, you know, it takes some oomph. That way I kind of know what's happening with it.
And that's just one example of many. So managing expectations is communication. Now, I think you still have to have this skill when you're single. So I'll give you the submissive examples. Y'all know how I am. The submissive, and this is, there's so many that come to mind. Okay. So the one that has been coming to mind a lot lately are when you're new submissive and you meet somebody online, right? And they seem amazing and you're in sub frenzy and you don't even know what sub frenzy is yet. Show of hands for that. Yeah, that's a lot of us. And you have this expectation. Some people have the expectation of the absolute best and they're like, we're going to be together forever. This is my perfect dominant. I'll never find anybody as amazing and wonderful, and I am in heaven and I can now die happy. Oh my gosh. Okay. Woo. That's some sub frenzy, y'all. If you recognize yourself in that, I went through it is how I know. I totally went through it. We're going to have to work on your expectations. Because the way I would tell you have to manage your expectations is, hi, you're dominant as a human being and they're probably going to fuck up and this might not last long. A lot of first DS relationships, when you're not already in an existing relationship, don't necessarily last. Some do. Yeah. Many don't, right? And then there's the other end of the spectrum of my submissives who are like, this is all really sketchy, and I know Kayla keeps telling me these are all red flags, but this will be the only dominant I ever meet. I will never meet another dominant ever. If I do not stick with this crazy ass, I'll never get to submit. Those are also not realistic expectations. So, for my single submissive friends out there, let's talk about managing expectations. Nobody is all one or another. Nobody's all perfect. No dom is all perfect, all-knowing. The best you've ever met. They are human. And even the imperfect ones, you know, the predators I have no use for, I will happily say they are all trash. And I wish they would all go away. But my, you know, kinder, gentler side says, oh, there's probably reasons, there's things we don't know, they're uneducated. Like I can give them a sliver of my empathy. It's a sliver. It's not all my empathy. But my point is that no matter how you feel about this brand new, shiny new relationship, if you are at either end of that spectrum, you are not managing expectations very well. Because the expectation should be that this person's going to be honest with you. That's a perfectly acceptable expectation to have. That they will communicate with you in the best way that they can. They might fumble, they might stumble, they might say the wrong thing, they might not know how to say something. That's true. But that they will communicate with you. But nobody's all-knowing, all-seeing. Nobody's perfect. No. And no, that will not be that asshole predator is not the only one you will ever find. There are others out there. Please let that trash dumpster fire person go. Because if they're waving 11 million red flags.
Would you say that in building expectations in a DS relationship, that there is core values?
I think so.
As far as, like you said, communication.
I think there have to be...
Trust.
Trust has to be earned, and that comes from communication.
Respect.
Respect, integrity, respecting consent. Consent and communication are, I think, the two things you and I say are the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're getting those two things, you can build on that. And part of that is you have to deal with your expectation, your previous experiences. Two E words, I got them backwards. Expectations, experiences. So your own experiences inform your expectations. And if you have gone through hell and you have been in really bad relationships, you've got some serious bad tapes you're dealing with, you have no reason to expect the best. I mean, unless you are just truly one of those really optimistic people that you're just always optimistic. And I have met those people and I'm fascinated by y'all because I don't work that way. Give me one or two bad moments and I go straight pessimist. I'm like a cynical bitch. But even though I want to be optimistic. So you are going to have to deal with what you've been through before. Those are going to inform your expectations. So I am not saying that if you are a pessimistic person or you've just been through hell and your experiences that sometimes this shit sucks and sometimes it's awful and it's dangerous and it's toxic, that shouldn't inform your next move. But it should help you be realistic about things and to understand that this person who seems really amazing might not be all that they seem because you have that experience. Mm-hmm. We've talked about trust in the past. I have admitted many times I have real big, thick walls that people have to get through, and most people can't get through them. They just can't because of my past experience.
That jackhammer.
You did such good work. You're stuck with me forever. And it's once I get to that point, once I do trust a person, then we can get a lot more realistic about the expectations because now I'm not expecting the worst. I'm like, wait, my new experience tells me that this person is not like that person. So now I can recalibrate my expectations because I have experience with this person. I have gone through things with this person. I've had conversations. I've watched how they behave. They've earned my trust. We're trying to navigate this relationship. And so now those expectations can shift. The expectations you're going to have for any given situation are absolutely, they're based solely on your experiences. I mean, we're just talking about real estate. And I'm like, well, here's what I know. And here's what I've seen. And, you know, here are the things you have to be careful of. And every bit of what I just said, you could pick that conversation up and put in some kinky nouns and verbs, and it's the same conversation, right? It's your kinky scene. It's how your power exchange will go. A lot of you out there will be in a vanilla relationship, or you'll have met somebody and you're like, I know I'm kinky. Are they kinky? I don't know. We're going to have the conversation. You're going to have the conversation with this person, and you're both in your own way are going to go, yeah, let's do this kinky thing. Let's do this DS thing. Let's figure this out. There's a good chance that one of you will be overly optimistic about how this is going to go. You're going to be the person, one of you, maybe both. We're going to do these 15 things in the first day, and they're going to go great. It's going to be wonderful. And I'm always, as a submissive, going to be naked and kneeling and collared and doing all of these things. And I will be, I'll be able to read your mind and know what you want from me before you even, like rose-colored glasses, right? Like it's going to be your BDSM porn fantasy. That's not a realistic expectation. And I'm begging you, so let's move that more to the center. Now, there's also a good chance that one or both of you is going to go, yeah, I tried that with my last partner, and here's how it all got fucked up, and I'm never doing that shit again, and here's why, and here's what I expect, and you're going to say you're doing this, but it's not really going to happen. You can't negate somebody's experience and the way they see it. All you can do is say, here's what I'm going to try to do. Here's what I hope happens. Here's what I hope we're able to build together. Mm-hmm. Here's how I'm going to work towards that. It's on the other person to hopefully feel comfortable enough with you to go, okay, my expectation is this is not going to happen, but I'm open to it because I like you. I like this person I'm trying to do this thing with. So I'll step back and let you prove me right or wrong, right? If you are on that end of the spectrum because of your experience and you are like negative Nelly over there, if this is a person that you're really trying hard to be with, my recommendation would be if you have the mental space to do it, is to take a wait and see approach. To take the, okay, we'll try it, but I'm not convinced yet.
Mm.
And let that other person's efforts, honest efforts, help convince you. That does put a lot of pressure on the other person who's like really hopeful and jazzed and ready to go. That does not negate the need for constant communication. Because if one of you is sitting back kind of with arms crossed, like, yeah, show me something. Well, that's not quite right. You got to participate in this too. But on the other end, if you're working really hard to prove to your partner that y'all can make this work, it will only work if there's total honest communication.
Yeah.
So what that means is, if you are about to not be able to do this thing you said you were going to do, you can't brush it off and say it doesn't matter because that partner over there is waiting for this to happen. You have to preempt it. That's the expectation. So you're going to preempt this and go, okay, we got to talk about this. Here's why this didn't happen. Yeah. Here's what's going on in my head. What do you think about it? And then in this micro moment, you're managing expectations. So there's a lot of layers to it.
You know, a lot of finessing.
When I suggested this a few days ago, I thought this was a simple topic.
Nothing is simple with you, dear.
It's just in my head gotten so complicated. I could be overcomplicating things, though. I do that.
Really?
Podcast listeners, you can't see the look on my face, but you know if you
know me. It's priceless.
There might be some pouting going on. So, there's a lot, is what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
Maybe we can give some actual concrete tips for managing expectations. Let me check my notes. I thought I wrote some down. Okay. So, one of the things is that, and we just said this, your expectations are informed by your experiences. So, as your experiences change, your expectations need to change. Perfect example, you're in a scene and it does not go well. And you thought you were prepared for it. If something bad happens, we're prepared for this. We've got a safe word. We know what our aftercare is we're going to use. We've got all these things in place, right?
Okay.
And that, none of that wasn't even enough. It was just, it went bad. The person had a bad reaction or bad pain or now there's blood. Like, who knows? Things can happen.
Yikes.
The things we do in BDSM scenes, BDSM is inherently risky. We are playing on the edge of things. Even when we're not, we don't think we are. Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, you've had that experience. Now you're going to, a couple weeks, couple months, couple years later, you're going to do a similar type of scene. You cannot skip the conversation about this scene, about setting your expectations, managing those expectations, because you have that first set of expectations when you thought it was going to be fine. You thought the safe word would be enough. You thought the aftercare would be enough. Then you have the reality, the experience of when it went terribly wrong. And now you also have whatever experience you've had from that moment to now, however long it was, whatever you've learned about each other, about yourself, about kink, about the activity, about the space you're in. Like, you have so many new experiences. And so you're starting not from scratch, but it's a whole new conversation. And in that conversation, it's like, okay, what's best case scenario? Well, everything goes fine and we don't need the safe word. Okay, what's worst case? Worst case is what happened. Oh shit, let's not do that. Okay, how do we mitigate that worst case scenario? What do we need to do differently? What have we learned since then? How will we feel? And this is especially true if one or both of you tends to get really emotional when things don't go well. I am less like this now than I used to be.
Correct.
It rolls off my shoulders a little bit better than it used to be. I do not internalize something going wrong. Like, it's all me, it's all my fault. It's, oh shit, that was some bad luck. Ooh, let's do better next time. Like, I just handle it differently. I don't know if that's time in this relationship. I don't know if that's kink experience I've gained. I don't know if that's age. Like, I don't know where that comes
probably
from.
Probably a combination of all of the above.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, we are all the sum total of our experiences.
Correct.
So for me, it is much easier. If something goes wrong, I actually laugh it off. The first time I got a leg cramp during kinky sex with John Brownstone, I almost cried. Not just because the leg cramp hurt, it did, but because I was like, oh my God, my failing body. And I fell all over myself internally about how there was something wrong with me. That was where my head was at a lot. Now, mm-hmm. I get a leg cramp. I'm like, oh, we got to pause. I need 30 seconds. Like, he could be, y'all, he could be inside my body. I'm like, hold on, and I'll stretch my leg. And then we keep rolling, right? So
allows me to catch my breath.
Whatever it takes, right? Man, whatever See? It takes. So the more you do these things, the more you will also adapt to them. And when you've had that, now you're having this new conversation, you've got to pull in everything you've learned. And you've got to get realistic with each other. I know it's more fun to talk about how this is going to be perfect and nothing will go wrong. Life lived for more than about 5 minutes will tell you that that's not true. And we right. know that's not true. But I think because people get wrapped up in the fantasy
of
DS,
that's where my old buddy Murphy comes in.
Damn, Murphy's Law. I hate Murphy's Law.
You know, anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Now, I did go through, and I go through periods of being very pessimistic. Everything's going to fail. Everything's going to... That's not healthy either, I don't think.
No.
And there will... And I know, maybe you're hearing me, and you're like, well, yeah. All of my experiences tell me it always ends in a dumpster fire. I used to think, when you and I first got together, everybody always leaves me. There's no point loving somebody. They're going to leave me. And I internalized it as being something wrong with me in that situation, but it was always going to end badly. It didn't matter what I did. Why bother? Right? Sometimes why bother is a healthy thing to go, why bother with that? I know that's going to be a problem. But when everything is why bother, now you're on the other end of that spectrum, mm-hmm. and you could be missing out on some really good things because yes, your experience tells you that it doesn't always end well. But if this other person is trying with you, if they are putting in an honest effort and they're like, let's talk about this. Let's work on this together. Let's find a path forward, which to me, for the most part, is for me, when I'm managing expectations, it's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to find a path forward so we get mutually what we hope to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And that is also part of it, is what do you actually want to get out of what you're doing? If all you have in your head is whatever you saw in porn or read in erotica or somebody else told you about that got you all hot, you are likely to be disappointed. Those are not realistic expectations at all. But if your end goal is you and I had a good time and we connected within our roles, we have a stronger relationship, we tried this new kinky thing together, I feel more submissive, you feel more dominant, like those kinds of expectations, that's something you can work with because it's not a static, it has to look like this outcome. It's a, this is how this moment made me feel. Now, how do we navigate everything we're doing to get there? And that to me is another way to manage those expectations. I'm not trying to recreate a moment in time over and over again like a cookie cutter because I have learned through experience that that's impossible. There will always be some variable that's different that makes the whole thing different. So what I'm trying to do, my expectation is the outcome. I enjoyed myself. I got a release. I got my ass beat. I don't care how we do it. Just hit me with a stick. Okay, let's get there. That is another part of what I think managing expectations
is. Yeah.
But it's all communication. Every bit
Absolutely.
Of it. Because there are the thoughts you have in your head by yourself, and there are the thoughts your partner has in their head by themselves. That does nobody any good. You have to come together and talk about it. And you have to the extent that you can and that you're comfortable and that you're finding ways to really communicate these things, say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I want to happen. And this is what I fear will happen. And that, again, will be informed by what you know to be true, what you've gone through, what your anxieties are, all of those things. And then your partner... And this is true in long-term DS relationships. And hey, we're just trying to get kinky over here in the club, okay? It's less in-depth, I think, when you're just negotiating a play scene. I get that. It's much more in-depth when you're building a long-term relationship of some sort. But it's the same principle. Okay, sure. Well, here's what I'm trying to get. And here's what I know that could happen. And how do you want to handle that? And what do you think? And it's this give and take of communication.
It is just as important. If you are in a situation as a top and bottom, that you're just negotiating a scene because you have certain expectations, the other person has certain expectations, you want to have that scene because there is something you would like to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, each one of you has something that you want to get out of it in that, right. in that aspect. So you need to be able to communicate each other's needs so that you get everything you want from it. I right. mean, you may not be fulfilled 100%,
right.
but you want it to at least be enjoyable that you do get some. Each person gets what they need out of it.
And that hopefully, fingers crossed, it's a positive experience. So even if it doesn't go exactly according to plan in your head, most things don't. I'm pleasantly surprised when something goes according to plan. But at this point in life, I don't expect it all the time. But even if it doesn't go completely according to plan, you got enough out of it that you're satisfied with it. I'm going to give you an example. Ava Gray said that she's going to Vegas this summer and has expectations of a lot of the lifestyle during the trip. Okay. So you have it in your head what that might be, whether it's what you right. do or who you'll meet or what you'll see. Cool. What I would say is, have those expectations based on whatever knowledge you have. Have you done research? Have you talked to people? Do you know people there? Have you been told about something and that so that created an expectation for you? Fine. But then that's your top level. Like, here's what I think might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what could happen that might not be what you expect, might not be the perfect vision of what you think will happen that you'd be satisfied with? Right? So I think if we go out, I'll use myself as a pretend example. When I think I'm going to the club, first time I went to the BDSM dungeon, never been to one.
Right.
I didn't quite know what to expect, but I was pretty sure there'd be a lot of kinky things going on. There'd be some naked people. That's about what I knew. So first of all, when I saw my first pair of boobs at the BDSM club, I was like, I don't know that I was prepared for that, even though I thought I was prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
But what my expectation was, it would be a lot of this one thing. The reality was, is that it was some of that, and it was some other stuff I couldn't have even conceived of. And then it was some stuff that had nothing to do with kink. There were people in their jeans and t-shirts. Yeah. There were people just talking. People were talking about their babysitter. People were talking about their job. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't all one thing I expected. It was some things I could never have expected.
Right.
And so my takeaway of it is that it was still good, even though it wasn't quite what I expected, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that the thing that comes to my mind mm-hmm. in her comment question is what jumped right to the top is the first year we went to London together.
Mm.
Okay. We had very high expectations of the kinky fuckery that was going to occur on that trip.
Oh, yes. We were sure we were going to tear up some hotel rooms.
Oh, yeah. That hotel room was never going to be the same again. And yeah, what a mess that turned out to be.
Right. We're not rehashing it.
No. I mean, you had issues. I had issues. Health issues. All the way around. And it was it came nowhere close to the expectations we had. Now, because of what it was, we put plans in place and implemented things so that the next time we went, we would not run into those same issues.
Right, mitigate.
Which we were able to mitigate.
And here's the other thing, and this won't be true all the time. Sometimes things are shitty and disappointing. You had expectations that it would go well, and it doesn't, and you're not happy about it. Legitimately, that's valid, you're not happy about it. In that example you cite, when we went to London and we thought, oh, this hotel room's not going to be the same, and none of that happened. And in some ways, it was a rough trip for us. We have talked about it.
Right.
I'm not rehashing it.
No.
But we still walked away from that trip happy. Not happy about the bad things that happened. One, because we couldn't even plan for those things. We, like, our expectations never went to your entire online business world will collapse around you while you're in London. Yeah. Like, we couldn't have expected that. And that was stressful. And I had an anxiety attack. And some things happened in some way. And yet, when we left, we still had a good time together. We still call that, even though we can tell you down to the minutia all the bad things that happened, We also can tell you the good things that happened.
There were still good things that happened.
And
absolutely.
It did not, in our minds, that's not a ruined trip. And that's the other thing. And this is, I don't know if it's a personality thing or a life skill. Yeah. I'm hoping somebody smarter than me has an opinion. But I think that is also a point of view of life of sometimes there's no salvaging that. That thing that happened was awful. There's no finding a bright side. But sometimes it's not all awful or all perfect. It's a combination of the two. Both.
And I think you have to, you know, it's easy to let the bad things overshadow what good does happen.
Mm-hmm. All yes, right. That is
so,
very true.
So, you know, it's kind of the old adage, you know, you kind of got to look for that silver lining in the cloud. And you kind of do. You do have to maybe pick out the good.
Maybe not right away.
Maybe
sometimes
not right
you have
away.
To deal with how you feel about the bad thing,
you know,
that happened.
And speaking for myself, I know when we plan a trip, when we're going to be away from home, especially if we're going to be staying in a hotel room, I would say definitely that my expectations or my hopes for things happening is increased, definitely, because I think there's that little bit of the excitement, the unknown. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're home, kind of in your comfort zone and things just kind of flow and go their way. But, you know, when you go on a trip and you're going to be outside of that comfort zone, you kind of, you know, it's kind of that kick up your heels kind of attitude.
Right. And I have noticed on trips, you always think you'll have way more time than you will. But so using London as the example, we thought there would be lots of hotel sex and it was a wild trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to manage our expectations for this year's trip, we did. We took care of the things that we could control.
That we could control.
That had contributed to the problems last year. We changed our diet and we got healthier and we lost some weight and we did all these things. We were very, now that we knew that our entire online life could go to hell while getting on a plane, we did our best to mitigate that and to watch for that and to be aware of that and to fix it before it could become a problem. So part of managing expectations isn't that necessarily for what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
It's for what happens next time. So you go through a bad DS relationship and one of you dumps the other and you, whichever side of the slash you are on, you are brokenhearted. You are a little jaded. You're a little like, fuck this shit. It never turns out well. I know. I talk to y'all on a daily basis. I know you're out there. Okay. I think part of that is part of the grieving process. Part of that is just your process for dealing with stuff. When there comes a point that you're ready to go, maybe I'll try this again. And if you don't, that's cool. That's cool. But if you do, okay, here's what I'm telling you. Take everything you learned from that. Not just, oh, these are red flags, or, oh, I should have paid attention to that problem more, or, oh, that didn't feel right, but I ignored that feeling. Yes, pay attention to all of that. Think about all of those things. But also, what have you learned about yourself since that happened? What have you learned about the community? That's why when we talk to single doms and submissives who, especially after a breakup, we're like, whoa, spend time learning about this, about how you feel about this while you're going through this single period. If you can, because it is hard for some people. I totally get that. It's depressing for some people. They don't want to learn about DS when they can't be DS. But we do recommend it because that will inform and set your expectations for next time. So from the submissive perspective, since there are so many predatory male doms out there, what you learn is, oh, that shit's a red flag and I'm not putting up with it. Okay, that expectation's been managed. Oh, that's a pattern of ghosting on me. Like you text me for 3 days and then I don't hear from you for 3 weeks. I put up with it last time and where did it get me? Oh, okay, so that means that's going to be a thing for me. I'm not putting up with that next time. Oh, you think I'm supposed to call you this title when we've met? You don't know shit about me. You just DM'd me. That's an expectation you've set for yourself for next time that you're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your expectations are, especially when you're single and you're navigating meeting people, are what you are going to put up with and what you're not going to put up with and what's okay to you and what's not okay to you. And it's not anything you can that fixes the right now. It helps you in the future, right?
Yeah.
Like the first time you realize again, submissive perspective, that a dominant can fuck it up and be a person you really care about, and they can still just screw it up, and they might not have their life together in a way that you need them to have it together, and you can decide, you know what, next time, that's a thing that's that, no, I'm not going to be okay with that. I was okay with it this time because I probably shouldn't have been, but next time, no, I'm going to have different, I'm going to have a different expectation of what I will be okay with going forward and navigating new DS relationships. So that's it. Sometimes your expectations can't be managed in the now. It is for the future because it's based on your experiences.
Here's an interesting, Allison talks about, how does having kids change your plans and expectations greatly?
You have to become flexible. I don't mean physically. You have to become flexible.
You have to be able to kind of just roll with it. We have gotten to the point that, you know, we are lucky in a sense because of the way we work. We work together during the day. We are able to attend a daytime play party at our club.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We are fortunate in that.
Once a month, we are very, very fortunate. We have the ability to do that, to escape to the club. We do not have family close to us that can do child care. While our boys, we do feel comfortable that they are old enough that we leave alone for a few hours during the day. We go out, we'll run errands, we'll shop. To leave them alone while we go out on a date night, especially to the club, we don't feel comfortable doing that as of yet. While the kids are home, we have, one of the things that we have maintained, our boys have a set bedtime.
Oh, yes. Okay. We live by schedules around
We live by schedules, and that's twofold. One, it gives them a set schedule so they get enough sleep so they can get through their day at school. The other thing is, we as adults, you know, we have our work during the day. When the kids come home, spend time with them doing homework, spending time with them at dinner, and just spending time with them in general. Once at bedtime, when it's their bedtime, that allows the other aspect of it is once they're in bed, that gives us time together.
Right.
Okay. It gives us adult time so that there's not kids hanging around constantly till 10, 11 o'clock or midnight when we go to bed.
And the other thing is, because it depends on where you're at in the parent, and we're in the middle, so 13 and 9, right? And I've got lots of kinky friends who are like, my kids are grown. I swear they do grow up. And this is what I'm telling you. Yeah. If you're dealing with little children or maybe you're planning a family, they get older and they need you less. And I don't think I'm like a lot of parents, and I'm okay with that. It's bittersweet when they need you less, but I like my independence. It's fucking amazing that they don't need me. They're not getting up five times a night to ask for water. Nobody's climbing in the bed with me because they can't sleep. Like, no. When they're growing up and they're becoming more independent, and I'm their mom, so there's a little bit of me that's like, oh. And then the rest of me is like, fuck yeah, I get my fucking life back. And they will go off and do their thing and pretend they don't even have parents. And for 2 hours, I might get to pretend I don't have kids and be kinky as fuck, right? Mm. Like, no, a lot of things as a parent, when the school calls, you got to deal with it. I do let that call go to voicemail, but that's because I might not
and
be a good
mom. And then they call me. Then
right, and I know he'll answer.
Her phone rings. Oh, it's a school. And then 5 minutes later, my phone's ringing.
If it's important, they'll leave a voicemail. When a kid's sick, you got to drop everything. And when something happens, you know, we have stopped our life to deal with a problem that a kid's going through because that's parenting.
Right.
And it does mean that you do have to be flexible. If we were planning to go to a daytime play party and one of the kids is homesick with the flu, well, guess who's not going to the daytime play
party?
Not
that day.
And it does suck. But we now have enough experience, enough time, that we know that we lost out on this one time. There will be others. It might not be exactly that. It might not even be that location. But we will make time to get some of that back as soon as we can. And because those types of expectations about playing and about connecting as Dom and Sub are so important to our relationship, we're constantly communicating about it.
Yeah.
When one of us senses, we'll both sense it at the same time when we're disconnected and we haven't been kinky enough lately.
Mm-mm.
One of us will always speak up. Eventually, one of us will go,
like, hey, have you noticed?
When the fuck are we doing this again?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And at that point, then we'll probably make more of a concerted effort. It is very easy to kind of like drift off into two different directions because life is going on.
Life happens.
Work, parents, like all kinds of stuff. But we don't, I'm not going to be crushed and disappointed, my whole life ruined if something about parenting or something about work or something about my family or something about the dog or whatever interferes with something I planned for DS either, because I now have the experience that says we will find a way, because we've already proven to each other and we talk enough about it. We know we're committed to making sure we get those opportunities.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to be disappointed and I won't need to be consoled with a coffee or, you know, some junk food or, you know, somebody needs to rub my butt for me because that makes me feel better. Yeah. I'm going to be disappointed, but it's not going to be so ruined. My expectations are such that it's not totally ruined for me. It's not the end of the world.
You're such a baby girl. What, someone would think that Diet Cokes and coffee is the way to your heart? No, it's butt rubs.
Well, you know,
if she were a cat, she'd be purring getting her butt rubbed.
My love can be bought with coffee and Diet Coke.
Yeah.
But my loyalty is bought with butt rubs. But here's the thing. If you're going to rub my butt, and that's a universal you, not you, whoever is hearing my voice. You have to have gotten through the walls where I'll let you in that personal bubble to begin with. I have a 3 feet of personal space rule. And if you are allowed inside that bubble, then yeah, you probably could rub my butt. And if you are not allowed inside that bubble, I am a cat. Don't touch me. Claws. Somebody did ask about managing expectations while long distance.
Yeah.
The best way I could think of is constant communication.
Consistency.
Consistency.
Somebody else had mentioned this a little earlier back at you talking about consistency, especially in a long distance relationship and expectations. Consistency is, along with communication, is going to be your biggest thing.
Here's what I'll tell you from a communication standpoint, because you are he's the consistent one. I'm the communication one. On the communication standpoint, no details too small to communicate. And I mean, I know I always call you at 5 o'clock. Today, I have a meeting. I will not get out until 5:15. I will call you as soon as I can after that. Somebody will think that's a ridiculous small detail. No. Especially when you're long distance and you are banking on that moment.
Right.
They always call and they don't. Your mind can spiral. I'm going to manage your expectations and let you know I'm going to be 15 minutes late.
I did my best when we were long distance. We had very, very definite set times that we would talk every day. And it was managed that we talked at those times.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what worked for us.
One of the times that we talked, when I took my lunch break, I called you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thankfully, it was far and few between, but there were times when I would have meetings, and those meetings would go on forever and a day.
Oh my Lord, God, yes.
I hated that crap. But anyway, I would do my best to at least shoot you a quick text. Hey, we're running late. They're rambling on. I am not going to make the noon call.
I would do the same thing when I knew, because you called me at a certain time.
Right.
And I had a little bit more control over my schedule at the job I had at the time. But if I knew I was going into a meeting and I thought it would interfere with answering that call, text message, email, something. Hey, this happened. So I think our experience with long distance and managing those expectations is there's no detail that's too small to share. There is no, they'll be okay.
No.
The very few times, especially once we were deep in our long distance relationship, the few times that, because this will happen, life will prevent you from even more, like you don't know you're going to get the flat tire. You don't know your phone's going to, like things will happen. The very few times that happened, whichever one of us was waiting on the panic. Not in the beginning, if it had happened in the beginning, it would have been like, oh, they hate me, they're gone, we've been, right? But once we were deep into it, it was, oh my God, what's wrong? What happened? And then by the time we did hear, like, it was total relief. Yeah. And then, and here's the thing, we go back to your experience informs your expectations. If it was a phone dying, it was, okay, where are you going to keep extra chargers now so your phone doesn't die when you need it?
I even got to the point, I don't know if you remember this or not, but especially when we were further into our relationship, because we did talk about that. What if something did happen to the other?
Right. Like somebody got sick.
Somebody was in a car accident. You know, these things can happen. What I ended up doing was I actually talked to my cousin. Mm-hmm. And while she did not know about us being in a DS relationship at that time, she knew that there was somebody. You were somebody. And I told my cousin, I said, look, this is her name. This is her contact information. God forbid something ever happens to me. Mm-hmm. Let her know.
Right. I did the same thing. My two best friends knew how to get in touch with you.
Right. So that way, God forbid, if something did happen, you wouldn't just be sitting there spinning, wondering, did he ghost on me? Did something happen? This way you would know one way or another.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. And thankfully, never had to use that.
No.
But you know what? No. It was a sense of calm because
it was kind of like a safety net. It took some of that worry.
You've been online with your DS and been in a long distance DS relationship for any amount of time, you've met other people who are probably in a similar type of relationship, and everybody knows somebody, even if it's not them, they know of somebody who had something like that happen to them.
Right.
And we both know people who they were in this relationship and then they didn't hear from a person for days or weeks. And sometimes it's because they got hurt. Sometimes they got sick.
Right.
And of course, from my perspective as a worrier, my first thing was, oh my God, he's been in a car accident. But if it goes on long enough, that's not what you're thinking. You're thinking, this motherfucker just ghosted me. What the hell? But and we just wouldn't do that to each other.
No.
We understood our experience informed us that this could happen.
Yes.
And it would potentially harm the trust we have in each other, even if there was a legitimate reason. Mm-hmm. It would cause unnecessary worry. It would be it would be bad for our relationship. We would have to rebuild whatever trust we had at that point coming back into it. Like there'd be all this stuff. So we tried to hope for the best. Nothing bad is allowed to happen to either of us ever. Prepare for the worst. Something bad will happen to one of us eventually.
Right.
And that is part of that. And I still, and it feels like an oversimplified answer, but anybody who struggles with communication knows it is not a simplified answer. It's all about communication. It's all about talking to each other. What do you think is going to happen? What do you want to happen? What's best case scenario? What's worst case scenario? And like I said, I don't know if it's because as I'm getting older that I'm finally becoming this way, or if it's experiencing kink and a solid relationship for once. I don't know. But I am finally at a point in my life, it's never all this or all that. It's always something in the middle. So going back to what started this whole topic where we're talking about selling the condo, I'm like, yeah, there's a chance we could get an offer on the first day. Please do not hold your breath waiting on that. I said, yeah, there's a chance it could be 6 months, a year. It could be, sure, there's a chance. I'm realistic enough and pragmatic enough to admit that, yeah, the best case scenario could probably happen. And yeah, the worst case scenario absolutely could happen. But life tells me, life experience tells me it's something in the center.
Right.
And so then as we were setting expectations for what selling our condo would be like, it was like, we don't know. Right. We can't know. And since we can't predict when an offer will come in, what will happen if we accept it, blah, blah, blah.
And it's like I saw several people.
We don't need to be freaking out about it.
It's like I saw several people mention the same thing in the chat. Hope for the best, expect the worst. And the one little tidbit I'm going to throw on top of that, the way I've always looked at it, hope for the best, expect the worst, and that way you're never surprised.
You're never surprised. And you know what? When it comes out good, you're pleasantly surprised. Yes. You're like, oh, look, that went well. Mm-hmm. Ha-ha, isn't that great? And I have found, and this is through the course of our relationship, we have gotten better at this over the years. But we've always just talked about stuff. And what do you think is going to happen? Well, I don't know. What do you think is going to happen? And how will we handle it? That's the other part of managing your expectations. okay, if the worst case scenario is this, mm-hmm. what will we do? And here's what I like about that. When I am, I know part of this is my anxiety and my worrier brain. I get it. But when I plan for the worst, I almost never have to use it. I don't.
Right.
I mean, in recent memory, couldn't tell you when I've had to use that plan. But that actually helps me mitigate when it's actually kind of in the middle where it's not the best it could have been, but it's not as, it's like, eh, it kind of sucks. Like, there was a glitch here. That little thing didn't work. Oh, well, wait, I had a plan. Let me go pull from that plan. And I've just turned this kind of not great situation into salvageable, and we can mm-hmm. move on and have a good day.
Look who joined us today, just real quick.
Hello, Quinn Rhodes.
Hi, Quinn.
Okay. I am going to go through because I want to say hi to a lot of people. There's lots of people chatting this week,
yes.
and I'm loving it. I'm wondering for the live stream, folks, we set this 30 minutes back than our normal time. Podcast listeners, you're like, whatever. It was there when it was there.
Yeah.
For my YouTube folks, was that a better time for y'all? Like, comment and let us know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're flexible within about an hour of time.
Right.
I can't give everybody the time of a live stream that they would like. That's perfect for their life. It just doesn't work. Because we are going to have to change our recording schedule for the summer. So we'll talk about that in the bonus section. Anyway. So yeah, it's communication. It's letting yourself think of all the possibilities and the possibilities that will come to mind, good and bad. Starting your DS relationship, trying a new kinky thing, telling your long-term partner that you're kinky, taking that long-distance relationship and making it in person. Like, every single possibility you could think of in DS, if you're listening to us for more than 5 minutes, you know we're going to tell you that the big thing you have to do is communicate with one another.
Right.
I would say let yourself imagine best, worst, and something in the middle. And the more you do these things, the longer you live life. Some of you out there are young. You're all over 18 or I'll kick your tail. don't get me in trouble with people. But the longer you live and the more experiences you have and the more partners you end up having, or the longer you're with a partner, you gain experience that informs all of your decisions. And so as you move through life, you're able to take a situation and in a shorter amount of time come up with options and set expectations. Or you're able to take a situation and go, good Lord, I can think of a dozen things that could happen with this. Whew, right? And then you also learn yourself better. So some people mm-hmm. don't even want to think too much about what might happen. And some people like me, I need to think about that. But what I've learned over the years, and this is just me, we're all different, is that I am better able now than I used to be to let go of the anxious possibility. The possibility that my anxiety says, oh my gosh, the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm.
Those possibilities I don't have to worry over as much as I once did. Now, is that because 3 years of therapy? Is that because I'm older? Is that because I'm secure in my relationship? I can't tell you. Some people never get past that, and some people do, and some people never experience it. But this will all change for you the longer you do these things. But if you are constantly surprised at the outcomes in your relationships, in your scenes, in your kinks, in anything and everything you're trying to do, we have to learn how to manage your expectations.
Right.
Because there's... Yeah. Even when we're managing our expectations, we can still be surprised, but we are never completely shocked. Not about the things we plan for, I would say. Because it's all, for us, it's all within the realm of possibility. You know, it could be the best we've ever had. It could be the worst we've ever had. It could be something in the middle. But because we know who we are and how we communicate and what we need with each other, we can get through it. Did that help at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So I do want to, before we go into the bonus section,
mm-hmm.
one, a reminder, there's a really long-winded lube story at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
Check out the Butters. Mm-hmm. Getthebutters.com. We love their lube. Somebody asked if it was latex safe. And
that was Ben.
I thought so.
Yes.
We will be talking about the butters more over the next few weeks, so we will make sure we have that answer.
Yes.
Because I know we use it with every kind of toy we have. We use it with our silicone toys. We use it with our glass toys, our all our toys. Our wood toys? We don't have wood toys.
We don't have wood toys yet.
Why don't we? Wait. Okay. The pen maker and the paddle maker.
Yeah.
And the butt plug maker.
Right.
I'm the wife of the man who makes all three. I have a paddle.
Oh, you have, yeah. And canes.
But I don't have anything else. It's like the shoemaker's partner with no shoes.
Well, once I get my shop set back up, I'm going to have to fix that. You better be careful what you ask for.
But I'm also kind of a masochist, so... Yeah. Okay, so...
Go ahead. I
want to say hi to as many of y'all as I can.
I'm going to just... Another thing Ben brought up that I wanted to mention was, yes, we have met crickets before.
We just this week met some.
Had a wonderful time.
We'll talk about that in the bonus section.
But, yes, we have met folks. Mm-hmm. I know you live kind of local. You're sort of in the area we live in currently. And, we're open to meeting folks for coffee or something.
Yeah, but, my head has to be in the right space.
Anxiety.
Social anxiety is so fun. Okay, I want to say hi to some people, to as many of y'all as I can who showed up for the live stream. If you're listening on the podcast, come visit us on the live stream when you can. Mm-hmm. We've already said hi to Ben because we've answered a couple questions.
Right.
And Mrs. Bubbles, whose name I love. Mm-hmm. And Scorpio Queen
from Iceland.
I'm the Scorpio bitch, so you can be the Scorpio Queen. It's fine. And Angela and... Mm-hmm. Yarn and Whiskey, that's an awesome name.
Uh-huh.
And Heather and Allison and V, I'm just going to say V because I'll fuck up your last name. And it's not even hard if I just read it, but y'all know how I am with names. Ileana and Christina and Ava and Ash. And
Ash and DKY Forever.
And Tertia, I hope I said that right. Y'all know I'm so anxious about names. Hello, Kalina. Hello, Kalina. And Claire and Tris. And I'm scrolling really fast, so I hope I don't skip anybody.
Claire Michelle, did you?
Yeah, I can't remember. Did I say hi, Claire? I said hi, Claire. Now, hi, Quinn, and hi, Buttercup.
Faith. Mm-hmm.
And there, I think I got. If I missed anybody, it's not because I like, you know, I love
not
y'all.
For lack of trying.
Okay, so we are gonna go into the bonus section. Because there's things to talk about that have happened this week. And anybody watching me on YouTube, I don't know what I'm doing with my arms. I don't know what's happening.
All right.
Okay.
Are we good?
I think so.
All right.
Maybe.
Did we meet our expectations for this episode?
No, we didn't scare absolutely everybody away, so yes.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Okay.
So, are we ready?
Vaguely.
All right. Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. OMG, I have so much for the bonus section this week. So, Patreon shout out to Lorana, Kalina, and Jay, conduit of queerness itself. Love that. Okay.
Yep.
So, got that. Two.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I just lost my train of thought. Yes, we got to hang out with a listener who we had actually met at previously, like in December. If Captain Vanilla is listening, shout out to Captain Vanilla. Awesome.
Yep.
And that was really cool.
Yes.
The house. That's not a house. Condo.
Condo.
I always say house to me. It's
a house. I know
it's a condo. Whatever.
Home.
Today that we are recording is April 25th, and by this evening, afternoon, whatever, it will be officially listed on the MLS.
Yes.
And our realtor, who is kinky as fuck, I like that about her, she walks in, she goes, it's perfect, you've done everything. I'm like, well, if you tell me there's something we really should
do. And she's like, nope.
You're done.
You did great.
And it was the verbal gold star that I love.
Yes, it was.
Our realtor gave me verbal gold stars.
You were just like in baby girl heaven, and you were like, yes.
I was. gosh, what else? Oh, yes, we have not talked about it.
Okay.
We have realized that once summer hits and we've moved, we have to change our live stream schedule.
Yes.
Because kids will be around.
Kids will be around. Kids
now,
will be home from
there's
school.
A possibility we will have a good, like, office that's not, like, adjacent to one of their rooms. And
right.
we could just set up, like, we don't know
yeah.
yet. I also know.
Or even possibility, because one of the things we are definitely have to have is a split floor plan. So if our bedroom is big enough, we could set up and record in there
if we have to.
Yeah.
So
yes.
we do also know our recording schedule at when we go on up to when we go on hiatus. So mm-hmm. the last day we will record before the move is May 16th.
Yeah.
And then we will take, we hope it's only 3 weeks off from everything, recording and blogging and all that stuff. 3 weeks off, and then be back, like, in, I think, June 13th is what I thought on my calendar. I y'all know how I am with numbers. So, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
There was something else. But I can't think of it. It'll come to me.
Okay.
What else have you got?
I am just happy. I feel like I have reached the... Not necessarily the end, but the biggest hurdles
yes.
to get to where we are. Having the house finished for what work needed to be done around here, having it cleaned to get it all listed. And this morning when she came in and we did some paperwork and she took pictures, it felt like, reach the goal, so to speak. And I know you where you're gonna go with this. We still have to list it and show it and sell it. But to me, this was a big point to get to.
Well, here's the thing. I have been very relaxed in comparison to this part.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted to get things done. And I've felt bad when I didn't feel like I was participating enough or, I did get a little stressed about, I feel like we're behind schedule. Actually, we're not, according to the schedule we created before we went to London. We are exactly on schedule, actually.
Yeah.
But here's what's funny. I've been relatively calm about this. You want to know when nerves hit? When she said it would be listed this afternoon. Because while we are managing expectations and we're like, okay, look, we might not get offers right away. We might have to go through lots of showings. Some people might... we might not get as many showings as we like. Well, that is the problem with trying to manage expectations when you can imagine all of the, maybe not all of the outcomes, but most of them, because my brain, my little anxious brain has gone, that's right. That could happen. It could be that nobody puts in an offer forever. Oh my God. And that now I'm like, also I'm waiting for judgment from strangers of the condition of our condo.
Yeah.
And I'd say I don't care. That would be a lie.
Yeah.
That would be a lie.
I mean, you've got, and I'm not going to say it's the easiest part because you are not listed as an owner on this.
No.
So
it's all you.
It's all on me to do the paperwork to, when come to negotiate an offer to, show up at closing and yada, yada, yada. You're just kind of.
Are you trying to say I'm just arm candy?
Yeah.
Except he didn't sign shit today until he made me read it. And all of the questions, they were questions I had said, well, we need to think about this. We need to think about that. Yeah. Okay. I'm just arm candy. What the fuck ever? What the fuck ever?
Mm-hmm. You're a lot more than arm candy and you know it, girl.
I know. And you know what? It is funny because...
I tease you about it, but you know better than that.
I know. It is weird because to me, this is my house. But yeah, legally, it's not my... Financially, it's not my house.
Right. Well, that's the other reason, because we've been working hard to get your credit built back up.
I have like the credit of an actual like responsible adult now.
Your credit's almost better than mine now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, the student surpasses the master.
Yes. And, we had been working on that because that was our goal. Because when we bought this, and I still use we.
I helped pick it out. I helped negotiate. I helped.
Well, it was as much your home as it is anybody.
True.
So, You know, but unfortunately at that time, because of happenings in your life.
Foreclosure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still dealing with a foreclosure.
You couldn't. Yeah.
It wasn't that, oh, it would have raised her interest rate. I was in the middle of a foreclosure. No bank would have touched me. But because we weren't legally married, we could get away with it.
Right.
Now we're legally married. Yeah. Damn.
So, you know, we bought this place on what buying power
I had for
my income for what we could afford.
Mm-hmm.
So we have worked over, you know, the past 4 years has not only been to work on physically making the condo better for resale, but to build up your credit. So now the next place we go, it is truly a combined effort.
Which means we have more buying power, but also we are mutually, like, we both have to have decent credit, or the interest rate will be higher, or we might not get approved. We will get approved. I think we'll be fine. Knock on wood. But again, my anxious brain can give you all kinds of what ifs.
Yeah.
And then God, could you have... I'm glad you're not an anxious person, because I know anxious people are in relationships together. I cannot imagine the power of all those what ifs. Like, I can come up with what ifs. But if he was also anxious and he had different what ifs, oh my Lord. So if you and your partner out there are both anxious people, you have all my sympathy and empathy. I can only imagine. That's the what ifs squared. That's all the math you're getting out of me this week.
Okay.
It's the what ifs squared. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
That's fine. I can go with that.
I can't even imagine. So.
And what else?
Yeah.
I made another trip to Ocala this week to bring more stuff into storage.
Yeah, and I forgot. I've had a very weird week with appointments. So, what was going on Tuesday? Something happened Tuesday. Tuesday was weird. Wednesday we had the condo cleaned so we could list it. Today is Thursday when we're recording the listing. Tomorrow the oldest has an appointment that I have to take him to. And like, my whole week is really, really weird. Last week, for anybody who's a subscriber of the YouTube channel, you're like, where the hell was the vlog you were talking about? What happened to videos? Why is the live stream the first thing you're doing? My mental health crapped out on me in the middle of last week.
Yeah.
I can actually feel the edges of it right now. Anxiety's like just hovering in the background right now. And so I did not process any video. And so hopefully I will process video and there will edit and there will be videos for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I can feel it swimming on the edges. Mm. And that's just the nature of it. So there's been that.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel like this whole episode has gone off the rails. I feel like the moment I tried to tell the lube story, it just went off the rails. Sometimes I'm honestly not sure if the words are coming out of my mouth in the right order. I don't know if I make sense. I honestly don't know. I don't have it ready for anybody to look at because it's still sitting in my email. But if anybody remembers the fan art we showed you of the Proud Cricket from Anna, not last week, but week before?
No, it was last week.
Was it last week?
Last week, yeah.
See, man, when my mental health does this weird thing, I lose all sense of time. Anyway, she sent me and said it was ours to do with as we pleased. Digital version of the full painted picture Cricket, and then another. I haven't showed it to you yet.
No, you haven't. Sorry. You haven't. This is all new to me. You haven't said
Surprise!
A word.
And a really cool drawing of a cricket. I think it even says hashtag Proud Cricket. I have to go back and look at it. That we have to do something with.
Okay.
And she's been amazing and is just giving it to us. And I'm like, I have to buy you a coffee or something. Oh. We have to do something here.
Anna, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's fucking amazing, y'all. But when my head gets in the way, all that stuff slows down.
Trying to slip, yeah.
I was powering through on hopes and dreams, apparently. Before that hit. And I had so much to do. And I'm like, oh, shit, no. Because of when the next episode comes out, May is masturbation month.
Yes.
And for Masturbation Month, because I run something called Masturbation Monday, because of course I do, just so you know, there will be a couple of sex toy giveaways. And we will talk about them on episodes, so you'll hear about it too and link over to the site. Hot Octopus and GoToMish, two of our faves. Yeah.
Sweet.
So we have some, and we'll have discounts, and we'll have all kinds of stuff going on for that, and we'll talk about that, so yeah.
Kalina says, ooh, stickers.
I know, I thought. thought stickers that's too.
A good,
proud,
that's a
proud
yeah,
cricket stickers.
That would be an excellent idea.
I thought that too.
Yeah.
So. Oh, there you are.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Anna. She's on the live stream. She's commenting. Oh gosh, this world is so tight. We're like, yeah. I love this community of y'all.
Yeah.
And I just do. I just love all of y'all. Whether you ever reach out and talk to us or not, just, I don't know, because I really do sometimes hear myself and go, what the hell are you doing? Who wants to listen to your crazy ass? And clearly somebody does, and I love you all for
right.
it. We can all be certifiable together.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I thought there was something else I wanted to say for bonus section, and I can't think of it. So
yeah, we have had so much
wild.
Going on, you know, leading up to getting the condo listed and thinking about the move.
I told y'all when we started talking about this months ago, you would be so tired of hearing about it.
Right,
we got to this point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Well, I mean, it's at the forefront of our life right now. And, you know, now the next big thing, we have to find a place to live where we're moving to.
Oh, that's right. That's also making me anxious.
I know.
I'm not going to talk about it now only no. because it, yeah, it will.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we're
trucking along.
We're trucking along. And I will yeah. tell you that as we go along the next few weeks before we go on our hiatus for the move, I can't predict that these topics will be helpful. One day I might just turn on the damn microphone and we might just go, I packed 80 boxes today. I honestly don't know if we'll be of any use or help to anybody.
I know. I mean, yeah,
I
Kalina, you know, we love doing this, you know.
God, I love
with the podcast
this.
And all. And, you know, while we know we're going to have to take a short hiatus to get through the you know, tail end of it all, not really looking forward to it in one sense.
No,
know?
Y'all are my therapy. I'll be the first to admit that.
So
I mean, my lovely therapist is my therapy, but this is my therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. But I also... Yeah, anxious brains suck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm not going to go there right now.
No.
That's it. I'm just going to my way until we finally stop talking,
yeah.
I guess. Until you finally go, look, I'm turning off the microphone. You can stop. I want to be helpful, and I want this channel and the podcast and the website to be useful, and I want to
mm-hmm.
help people have the DS life that they want, and I want people to be in their own way as happy and fulfilled as I am, and I want all of that, and also sometimes I want to go crawl into a little corner and just be really quiet by myself. So that is about it. I think our realtor's putting our lockbox thing
on
our front door handle, so we're gonna go.
Yep.
And we will see you guys next week.
We love you.
And we love you.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.